It's Lake Effect on WUWM. I'm Bonnie North. Earlier this week, the EPA released its long-anticipated Clean Power Plan. Agency Administrator Gina McCarthy describes it as achievable state-by-state goals to cut carbon emissions from coal-burning power plants. Wisconsin would be required to reduce its levels by more than 30% by 2030. Since the report's release, support and criticism have flooded air, newsprint, and social media. A group of faith-based leaders throughout the Midwest decided to speak out earlier and with one voice. Nearly 400 individuals representing multiple denominations co-signed letters to President Obama and the EPA. Jeff Barrow was among the signatories of the May 27th communication calling for swift action to reduce carbon pollution. Barrow is bishop to the Milwaukee Area Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. WUWM's environmental reporter Susan Bentz met Barrow at his office, which is just south of the Menominee Valley on Layton Boulevard. He explains why he not only signed the letter, but agreed to speak out through a press teleconference coordinated by an environmental group called Clean Wisconsin.
I was invited to do that. It's been a topic that traditionally has been very important in the life of the church and the world. And so if you think about it, you go back even to Bible camp. Our Bible camps that were often the leadership development for us, those were at the kind of groundbreaking level of looking at the environment through different eyes. And unfortunately, the environment has not been a very big topic of late politically. You get up onto Capitol Hill and you realize that there's great silence about environmental issues today. And you wish that there would be some kind of honest dialogue about a topic that affects everybody, no matter what your political persuasion is. I've always said that the most unfortunate thing about Al Gore is not what he was thinking or studying, but that he was a Democrat doing that. And so all of a sudden, for the first time, what should be a human issue becomes a political football. And that's really sad, because the people in Tanzania talk about climate change matter-of-factly, and they see it every day. And they can see that the snows on Kilimanjaro aren't what they used to be, and they feel the mosquitoes that come farther and farther up the mountains and affect more and more people. They see the change in their ability to produce food, and so Tanzania has experienced drought for 3 years in a row in a way that they've never done before. And it's unfortunate that people living close to the land can see that so clearly. And for us, in this sophisticated environment of ours, it's such a subject of debate. And so I think the sad thing is that it's just not, environmental issues just aren't getting the traction that they need to have, because it's in all of our interests. I don't care who you are, that we preserve the environment.
So Clean Wisconsin, the organization, asked you and others, mm-hmm. other church leaders, to come together to sign a letter.
Yeah.
What was the heart of the message of that letter?
Well, it's just that the carbon emissions are changing things.
Does your synod, does the church, is it at a point of saying, okay, let's mobilize our congregations and let's make ours a voice for awareness and movement on combating or adapting for climate change, for instance?
Traditionally, it's had that wonderful role, and it still needs to have that role. What's changed about churches, it's harder to speak on behalf of the church today in a divided political climate. Because if people don't like what the church is saying, they go find a different one. I think of my grandfather, who was probably mad at his church for the last 20 years of his life, would never think of changing. I mean, that was his church. That was, you know, with all its warts. I think it's more difficult today to speak into a charged political environment that is so polarized, because you have people in your congregations on both sides of issues, and usually radically on both sides of issues, and they're all God's children. You got to walk with them all. But it it makes it more difficult, I think, to offer a universal word of challenge and expect everybody to say, oh, thank you for that word of counsel. So,
how did the churches in your synod or its leaders react to your signing on that letter?
I think, and that's why I don't sign letters as readily as I used to, because I think people want to be able to own the statements of the church that are made. And so sometimes you have to pause and say, let's talk about this before we just make a statement like that. In terms of the issue itself, it's a no-brainer for me. I mean, the care of the environment is a biblical principle that is not going away. It's how we interpret that that's I think, the question now. And so if people don't want to hear things, they don't want to hear things.
It really does boil down to that, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, it does, and I think, again, I think if you go back to the whole notion of what it means to be caretakers rather than subduers of the creation, that's an important step for people to make, and that as I go back to those texts in Genesis, in the early part of Genesis, they don't call us to manipulate the environment. That whole marvelous creation story is really one where we're called to be caretakers. Well, that doesn't mean that you exploit for whatever gain you can have out of it for the moment. It means that you look down the road and see what's left for the children. Well, you know, what's not to love about that?
Here, I mean, we're quite close to the Menominee Valley and to the power mm-hmm. plant that's, you know, part of the target for change. There's been lots and lots of discussion and talk of health impacts right here. Yeah. And there are those who say those health issues have nothing to do with that power plant.
That's like saying smoking has no impact on your lungs. Doesn't matter if you have filtered cigarettes or ultralight cigarettes, you're still exposing yourself. That's my reaction to that.
You talked about needing to be careful in what you sign and how you present issues. Would that be a fair way to assess it?
Yeah, and not just to appease everybody. I think there is a prophetic word to be said. But you also have to begin where people are and begin to help them open up issues that finally make sense and become transformative for themselves. The day has passed when the church could just issue an edict and everybody says, oh, thank you, now I'm going to change. I think it's more difficult than that. We have to go back and revisit the biblical text. We have to talk about what it means to care for creation, to care for children, and let people kind of see the implications of that for themselves. And usually we don't until something close to home awakens our sensibilities. Well,
you're talking about some kind of a climate-related spill or a...
Yeah, like where was it, up by Jackson, where what happened last year? The water got contaminated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, then all of a sudden everybody realized the environment is their issue. It affects them personally. Mm-hmm. And so you hope we can be a little more proactive in saying, you know, there are things happening all the time that are affecting our environment, but they don't cause an explosion. There isn't rapid contamination of the water, but it's eating away at the way we live. And if you think about it, what makes Wisconsin unique traditionally more than its marvelous, landscape and recreational possibilities and habitats that it's provided for all kinds of animals and birds and even people. Well, if we mess with that just to get a quick buck, that concerns me as a human being and as a Christian for sure, because I don't think that's the way God intended us to live.
I know that we're sort of dancing around this carefully, but did you think long and hard about whether you should not only sign the letter, but there was a teleconference which you participated in?
Yeah.
Were those tough decisions to make?
No. To me, that's not a difficult issue to say I want to be a part of that. Most issues have some give and take to them, but I think there's an urgency about the environment.
Well, that's what I thought earlier when you said we can't issue an edict and expect people to follow what you might think is best for the world. Yeah. On the other hand, you've just mentioned you feel a sense of urgency. So how do you balance that?
Well, you have to just keep the issue up there. And for many people, it's a matter of inviting them into the discussion because, as I said, it's not in vogue to talk about the environment suddenly. That doesn't mean it's not an urgent issue. I did just hear from the bishop in Alaska, and she talks, again, matter-of-factly about how the native people out there, to go fishing, they don't have to go as far out anymore because the ice is shrinking. And we need to listen to folks who have lived next to the land for thousands of years in the same way. And when they say it's changing, it's probably changing. It's not just, oh, you know, that's today's news. So I think it's important that we pay attention again to what's happening in the world around us. There is a thing in my faith story that says, you know, in the end, God will take care of us all. I just think, and that, you know, certainly in the story of Christianity, there's this thought that the world won't go on forever. But goodness gracious, that doesn't mean we should waste what we have or exploit what we have, because we are still called to be caretakers of the creation.
Jeff Barrow is bishop to the Milwaukee Area Synod of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. He spoke with WUWM's environmental reporter, Susan Pence.